This is the Closet Geek, episode 54 for September 18th, 2014.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek.
And welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out. I'm your co-host, Ryan, and with my brothers are the four horsemen of geek, Michael, Barry, and John.
Hi. Hi.
Go, Ryan.
Woo.
Good job, man. All right. Hi, guys.
How's everybody going this week?
Yeah, you know, it's just another week of the Closet Geek. I'm excited to talk tonight, but yeah, you guys doing good?
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Superb.
My life is fantastic.
All right. Well, let's go to our next segment. Let's go to our first segment
of
the show.
How about the first one?
Yeah.
Let's
do the first one first.
Let's go to the first one.
All right. Today.
Sounds good.
This week in Geek.
This Week in Geek. This is a segment where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, the things we love, and the things that we could recommend to you guys. So, Ryan, why don't we start with you this week?
Well, thank you, Michael, for your fantastic segue.
You're welcome.
I'm actually going to talk about the Fantastic Four.
Ooh.
We've joked about it in the past. I've joked about it where I've made fun of the Fantastic Four, saying it's a non-player, and you know, kind of a joke comic in the Marvel Universe because everyone's all X-Men everything. Yeah. You know, and Avengers crazy now.
Right.
Anyway, so because of recommendations from others, I decided that I would go back and figure out where to start. So there's actually a really good post on the web from Den of Geek. It's denofgeek.us, and they talk about where to start in the Fantastic Four. And it's a pretty big article and pretty cool. But the point that I decided to start was at issue 501. It was by Mark Waid and the late Mark Wieringo. He died of a heart attack in 2007. And, now I'm a fan. I can just say that.
You've been converted.
Yeah, it's funny because I guess I didn't really know what to expect. I really been kind of misled about who the Fantastic Four are based on those horrible movies.
Sure.
And the Fantastic Four really has very little resemblance to those movies at all.
That's
their superpowers. Yeah, they have the same superpowers, and that's pretty much it.
That's better than
Well, isn't like the Invisible Woman actually one of the most powerful like superheroes in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, she's really powerful. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
I'm curious.
She can turn invisible.
Yeah.
She has other powers, too.
Invisibility and force fields are her main two powers, but she kind of can manipulate those in different ways. And it's actually kind of funny because the first Mark Waid, he's the writer of starting off issue 501, which is about, I think the current issue is like 590 or something like that.
Okay.
And so there's 100 issues that I went way back and started
that's a lot
reading.
Of Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I've just been powering through them because they're so fantastic. they're actually really good because they're not really superheroes, which kind of took me for surprised me. But I mean, they have superpowers, but they're not like, for example, the X-Men. Are superheroes, and the X-Men are very much superheroes in that they are defined by their battles.
Okay.
They are kind of defined by who they fight and what they're fighting for. And the Avengers are kind of like similar to the X-Men, but they also kind of do things to like help all of the world.
Right.
Okay. But then the Fantastic Four is like the extreme where they're helping all of the universe.
Oh, whoa.
So,
okay.
So basically, the Fantastic Four are like if Lara Croft had superpowers.
Hey.
Okay.
That's cool. I could go with that.
They're explorers. They're thinkers, intellectuals.
Scientists.
They're just regular people. Yeah.
Well, they were scientists to begin with, right?
Well, no. Only Reed was a scientist. The Thing was a pilot.
Yeah.
And Sue and Johnny were just kind of basically along for the ride.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. They weren't even astronauts, really. Hmm. They were just kind of like, hey,
space tourists.
You're married to him. Let's go. Well, I'm not going without my brother. Okay. Well, I need a pilot, and Ben's my best friend. Let's go. So basically, it's like Reed Richards, who is, yeah, Mr. Fantastic, is basically the head of the team, and they'll do anything he wants. So he's primarily the focus of the entire comic book. It's basically, it could be renamed Mr. Fantastic as a
right.
comic book.
Right.
So anyway, I give it a big thumbs up because I've been really happy with what I've been reading. I've been interested in the different artists and the different writers, and I'm really looking forward to, right now I'm at like 500, I'm at the end of Brian Hitch, his run.
Okay.
Brian Hitch is he's a big guy in the comics. I think his last one he did was Age of Ultron. Is that Brian Hitch? Yeah. He was one of the major artists in that.
Okay.
Mark Miller was the writer, I think. You know, anyway, so I'm about finished with their run, which ends at like 570. So.
Wow.
Power.
I really have been going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's cool, basically what I've been doing my whole time, reading comic books.
There you go.
Nice. And there's nothing wrong with that. Cool. Mike, what'd you do this week?
Well, yeah, last week we really didn't do This Week in Geek, so I'm going to kind of talk about what we've just been working on or doing. Last week, SLC Anime reviewed their monthly anime, Lovely Complex. This anime was amazing. It was a really well-produced and well-thought-out story. All the characters you really fell in love with and were well developed, that you were involved with the characters in the storyline. It's just a high school drama slice of life with a dash of comedy, but it was just, I don't know. It connected with me and, I really enjoyed it. I gave it a 9 out of 10 personally.
Wow. Okay.
And overall, it got a 7.5 for the overall score for the club.
That's actually a
pretty high score for us. It's tied for first place with 7.5 with a few others. I'm not sure if any others got above that. I can't think of anything else. But to review this month, we chose something that we've never tried before, and I haven't even started watching this because I'm a little hesitant. It's Madoka Magica, which is our first like magical girl genre anime to review. So another example of magical girl would be like Sailor Moon.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Magical Sammy. You know, a few others that are out there, and. But this one has a little bit of a twist. It's a little bit more of a darker storyline. So I'm about to start that this week, and we'll see how that turns out. Of course, you have your weekly anime. You got your Sword Art Online 2, which was awesome. The last two episodes of Irregular at Magic High School. It's coming to a very interesting end. Very cool. And then I watched Captain Harlock on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I started that, and then something came up, and I couldn't finish it.
You know, it was great. It reminded me of the manga, the way it was kind of developed and put together in the show, and it was really well animated, all CG, very nice. I think it's called Harlock Space Pirate. It's just the Captain
Harlock.
I really
liked it the first couple of minutes that I saw.
Yeah, well, it's nice because it at the end of the show, I'm gonna spoil it for you, Ryan.
What?
Okay.
No spoilers.
No. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, at the end, you find out that it follows the manga, meaning that it's the continuation that Harlock is more of a, it's like the Captain Wesley, you know.
I didn't do that.
Oh. That's funny that he dropped out right in the middle of his...
Oh, that's awesome. You cannot spoil this.
I really didn't.
We killed his speed.
I honestly did not kill his speed.
That's so funny. Just right in the middle of his explanation.
What happened? What was that?
I totally took off my headphones.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
Brian took off his
headphones before
I
did anything.
No spoilers.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I honestly didn't do anything.
All right, well, I will never do that again. What the heck was that?
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, okay, so moving on. So I finished Arrow season 1 on Netflix.
Oh yeah, good.
Oh, yes.
Both Kathy and I are watching that together, and we've been enjoying that.
Season 2 is coming.
I'm looking forward to season 2 being on Netflix.
Stephen Amell is such a hottie. The guy has muscles.
How do you say it? Is it Amell or
Amell?
Amell. There's no
A. Amell.
A
M E L L. Amell.
I saw him do his parkour exercise.
Yeah, how he does
it was
the trending ladder. Yeah, he does all
that.
American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, yeah? That would be cool.
He doesn't really stand a chance for that, but that would be fun.
You'd be surprised.
The people at American Ninja Warrior contacted him and said, hey, would you mind doing
just
appearance for fun?
Why not, right?
He's an actor that can actually do his own stunts.
Right.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
In that capacity.
Season 2 is going to be on Netflix starting
October 8th,
which
is also when the season 3 starts.
Opener of season 3. So usually Netflix previously has like given you at least 2 weeks prior to the new season. I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to set up season 3 to record, and then I'll watch season 2 on my own leisure.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So I do have to say something to Mike, though.
For sure.
And the rest of the SLC anime group, because of Mike's suggestions on how much he loves the Irrational whatever show,
Magic High School,
yeah, that one.
Oh no,
the Irrational anime lover show.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, who's a listener of the show, he's just like, Mike made it sound so good, and so he has watched it and like has like stormed through every single episode,
like waiting
for
it to get good.
Yeah, and no, he's like, I like this show, and I'm like, oh, everyone hates it though.
Interesting.
So I wanted to let Mike know that someone out there appreciates his comments.
Kind of weird anime fetish that he does.
So you can say thanks to Christopher, my brother-in-law.
Thanks, Christopher, for validating the fact that I'm not the only crazy person in the world.
Now there
you go.
Two of you.
All right, John.
It only takes two.
John, tell us what you did. I don't know.
I was just going to say that this last week, Final Fantasy XIV got their new update. So that's been taking up as much time as they can put into it. So
and they're going free to play, right?
No.
They are?
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
Final Fantasy XIV will never be free to play.
I don't think so.
I just saw an article on that today.
Ooh.
No.
Interesting. Because
maybe
if they do, the people that pay for it now are going to be really mad.
like ye.
The people that pay for it now are like total, no, it's like seriously, like total fanboy loyalists to this game.
Maybe they'll do it like World Warcraft, where it's like the first 20 levels or something like that.
The free weekend. They had a free weekend last weekend.
Oh, maybe that's
so,
what it was.
So they can
an article on that.
They basically open up like half of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for
people.
Yeah,
it was like a
check
trial.
Out
where you come
in. Oh, okay. Maybe that's what the article is about.
Before they do big updates, they'll be like, "Hey, come check out the game. See how it's changed. Maybe you'll want to stick around afterwards." All right, I'm done. I'm done.
John.
Yay, me. Okay, so September 9th. There was a release of a little game called Destiny. It was a very small, like, independent developer game that just came out. But I've really gotten into it. It seems to be pretty cool.
I hear it had a small budget of around $1 million.
I saw that post you guys made about the Destiny, they solved the first raid in 12 hours.
Well, no,
14 hours.
No. Yeah. It wasn't that they solved it in 12 hours. They played it for 12. It took them 12 hours of gameplay to beat this thing. That's how like difficult this raid was. It's ridiculous. I mean,
and it's only six people. And
that doesn't really sound that difficult, to be honest. Like I mentioned in the post, it's like when, for example, World of Warcraft, before they went to easy mode, they had the
like the 40-man raids.
Yeah, well, even after that, where they had the raid that's in the undead thing in the sky.
Naxxramas.
Yes, Naxxramas. Where that took forever for people to solve.
Well,
right.
I have to
But
it took them weeks. How long has Destiny been out? September 8th.
Right, but how long, like, from start to finish, how long did it take them to go through, like, a dungeon raid? It only took them, like, 2 or 3 hours, right?
Well, I'm going
to,
like...
The point that I'm trying to make is that it took them 12 hours. Not that they kind of played around here and there, and it took them 12 hours to beat it.
Well, 12 hours straight.
To solve it. But
they played it for 12
solid gameplay hours.
Yeah,
and that's how long. I mean, I'm like,
they'll get faster.
Who has 12 hours? Who has 12
Thank
hours?
Thank you. Exactly my
down.
Point. Who has 12 hours to just sit down and play a raid? I mean, you've got to like, okay, now honestly, it is the way that it is designed.
If I'm willing to, go into couples counseling and divorce courts,
relapse.
Well, the way that it's set up and. The way that it's meant to be played is that it saves your progress through the week. So it's not meant to be done at a single 12-hour stretch.
In a single, yeah.
You know,
so this is how addicting the game is, people.
It's meant to be done piecemeal over the week, and it saves your progress as long as you have the same fire team together, because it's based on whoever the fire team leader is. The progress saves with them. So if you have to group back up with the same fire team leader the next night.
That's the way Warcraft
is. So it's people that are familiar with the way that the rating system has been done in most MMOs, you know, it's that kind of a system. But it's just crazy that this group went through and plowed through for the first 12 hours.
So what about those of us who don't have crazy amounts of time to play the game? Is it still worth
like
playing?
For example... My character is still only level 7. I haven't gotten out of the initial Earth Old Russia areas. I haven't even gotten to the mission, the moon missions yet. That's how little time I've had to play it. But it's still extremely fun when I get in and play it. And I mean, if you liked the Halo series, or if you still do like the Halo series, it feels very Halo-ish.
Well, Halo
was a single-player game, though.
Right. That's kind of one issue that I do have personally, because especially in my situation where I've got, you know, I'm married, I've got kids, I've got responsibilities at the home, I can't pause the game. And that's kind of one of the things that got me away from playing MMOs as much, because, you know, when I play an MMO, I can't just pause the game. I mean, sure, I can go somewhere that's quote unquote safe and walk away and maybe come back, but I can't necessarily
fight. You can't click start and pause things.
So that's the issue, is that sometimes, especially like if you're in the middle of a mission, or if you are in the middle of a strike, a three-man strike, or even if you're doing like PvP, you know, there's no way to like just pause and walk away. You have to either just be willing to just lose whatever progress you've made up to this point, or you have to, you know,
keep going.
Sacrifices your and relationships so, with real people.
And so that that right there is
physical people.
I mean, that right there is actually one of the main reasons why I really haven't had as much game time, because I'm like, okay, well, I can sit down and I have, say, you know, an hour to play something. Well, you know, I can sit down and I can do this. And most, for example, you know, most missions, like, and you can do missions solo. Most missions you can easily crank out in, you know, 15 minutes. It's really not that really doesn't take that long to do like an actual mission. So if you only have 15 minutes, half an hour, you know, you can jump in solo and run around. And then of course they do have, what they call patrol missions, which is more of an open world exploration, you know, picking up odd missions here and there as you're exploring the area. Those you can do no problem on your own. And you know, if you have friends that are online and you want to run around together, that's actually where Destiny really shines, in my opinion, is when you start playing with other people. And that's where it gets really fun. And especially if you're doing like a three-man strike with people that you know, that's a lot of fun. And that's something that, like during the beta, you know, I had the experience to play with Michael, and I had time to play with Barry. And that was, for me, that was the most fun when I had playing Destiny.
And, yeah, me too.
And so that is kind of a cool aspect of what Destiny is. And
so
I think
what makes,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say that for me, that's kind of what makes Destiny kind of stand out is the multiplayer aspect of it.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to ask. What makes Destiny stand out as an MMO that's going to succeed versus games like Star Wars: The Old Republic that was kind of popular, but it's really kind of just never really peaked, like say World of Warcraft.
Well, one nice thing is that it's not a subscription based. There's no microtransactions or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, you pay the game, you play the game. There's nothing as far as that's concerned. You know, there is the fun aspect of, you know, leveling your character, building your character, and you can
leveling items.
Yeah, and leveling up your equipment and that kind of stuff. And that's a fun kind of a RPG element of the
right.
game.
But a lot of games there's a lot of RPG games out there, and there's
right.
you know, quite a bit of MMOs as well. What makes you think this is going to last or continue
for
to
me,
be popular?
For me, it's all about the fact that it's the developer Bungie that did it. Because there are games that are out there that do somewhat the similar things, like the Borderlands series. Is very similar, where it's a first-person shooter, it's got the multiplayer aspect
to it.
Well,
you can even say that about, like, Call of Duty.
Well, yeah,
you know,
Call of Duty, where you
level up your
competitive
guy.
As far as the competitive nature of it.
And you know, you can level up and get better abilities and so forth as you go up level.
For me, the reason why I was the most excited for Destiny is the fact that that I get to play a Bungie developed game on my PlayStation. And that was the number one reason why I even started being excited about this game because I did have the original Xbox, so I did get to play Halo 1 and Halo 2, which I loved, and they were great games, but I never did get the Xbox 360. I did the PlayStation 3 instead. And so I never got to play Halo 3, Reach, ODST. I never got to play those games. And now especially, you know, that Xbox One and, you know, the new Halo that's coming out. So when I found out that Bungie was developing a multi-platform game, I was already sold on it. And so for me, like I said, if you enjoyed the Halo series and like playing those kinds of first-person shooters, then this is a great game. And then everything else is just kind of icing on the top of that and just kind of makes it its own unique creature. But, you know, there are growing pains. It's not getting as good reviews as they were hoping to get. I think right now in Metacritic, it's somewhere in the 75 to 80 range. They were hoping to get a lot better
How is 77% not good?
Well, because when you're trying to aim for like 90,
if it's not like, 95 or higher, it's not a success.
Well, I mean, and they do get. I mean, but usually developers do have something in their contracts that state if we get like a 90 or above on Metacritic, then we get like a X amount bonus.
See, but Metacritic is broken because, and I say that in the aspect that they only do an initial rating, like when the game comes out, because games come, but later on when games have patches and they have other DLC content come out,
it gets
better and better.
And that's the thing that Bungie has said as well, is that.
So the game is just going to get better because they're going to be able to patch it and have DLC.
Right.
And that Metacritic score then becomes void, in my opinion.
And the things that the fans like and don't like, they can tweak the game. And
there's also games like Warhammer MMO that came out. That the critics they loved it.
Like, really good reviews.
Amazing. But you couldn't play the game because it was so buggy. It was so awful to play. It was just like so annoying to try and do a simple quest that they killed itself, unfortunately.
So, yeah. So all right, I've been enjoying this.
Should I make some Destiny helmets?
Yes.
Oh, I think you would seriously. It's got such a big following. I think you would probably
make sick amount
probably
of money.
Probably get, you know, pretty popular.
The problem I have with starting is that I've already seen some dudes 3D print some of the helmets, and I can't 3D print.
Right.
I just make it out of clay.
But.
So I don't know, because there's certain symmetrical details that are hard to capture by hand.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I also started reading the new Star Wars A New Dawn novel. That's basically the prequel to the Rebels series that's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
it kind of is talking about the two main characters, Kanan, who is the Jedi in hiding, and Hera, who is the Twi'lek pilot, kind of talks about how the two of them initially met, and I'm about halfway through the novel, and it's kind of interesting because I have to, like, a lot of times I'm reading this and I'm like envisioning it as a cartoon, and I'm like, okay, a lot of the stuff that happens in the book wouldn't do well in a cartoon. And so, and then I finally got past that hurdle and started reading it as if I was reading just like a regular, like Star Wars novel or something, and not thinking of it as a cartoon. And that helped me appreciate the book a little bit more, and I wasn't struggling with it as much, but, But initially I was reading it and I'm like, okay, this is the Star Wars Rebels, you know, and it even has, you know, the characters on the cover, you know, the Kanan and Hera characters. And so it is they're definitely letting you know this is based on the Rebels series that's coming out, but it's definitely not a kid novel,
a children's book.
It's not. And so, because the main villain so far is kind of a cyborg, kind of like a la, you know, General Grievous type thing.
Grievous, yeah.
But
interesting.
But
the Inquisitor dude hasn't showed up yet.
No, haven't seen the Inquisitor yet. But they're still kind of dealing with. And it sounds like Hera, the pilot, the Twi'lek pilot, is kind of a recruiting scout for the rebellion. Like the rebellion is just like the hints and whispers of the rebellion at this point. It's definitely not what we've come to know. You know, in the original trilogy, the rebellion was already this full on force of systems and people.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And at this point, you know, it's only been a few years after episode three.
Yeah, where it'll be interesting because what I was thinking when you talk about that is that it sounds really cool. But when I read The Phantom Menace by Terry Brooks, when it first came out, the book, the book was great.
Yeah.
The book was really good. And then the movie was really bad.
Yeah.
So I really hope that that's not the case with this Star Wars Rebels. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting because it is starting to lay down the fact that, you know, the Empire is really starting to come into its own, and it's really starting to become the tyrannical force that it was that we've always known the Empire to be, but it's just kind of starting to be that, and so people are just now starting to feel that
oppressed.
Yeah, they're starting to feel that oppression because it is starting to, you know, and they're starting to flex their muscles a little bit more, and they're starting to be a little bit more ruthless in their expectations of. You know, what it means to be a system under the Empire. And so it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool in that aspect of it. You know, it's really laying a lot of the initial groundwork of like what the Empire became and what the rebellion is starting to be. And so, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I'm about halfway through it. So I'll let you know when I finish it. I'll give you a final review.
All right.
So
my
that's
week
it
was
tonight,
kinda...
guys. Bye. Have a good night.
Woo. Yeah. Now, my week was kind of slow for geeky stuff, but I did download a game. It's called Fez.
I love Fez.
It was on for free on the PlayStation Plus, so I downloaded it for my PlayStation 3, and I really really enjoy that game. It, you know, it's a puzzle game, but. The really cool thing about it is that my 7-year-old son loves playing it by himself. Cool. And so it's just kind of fun to see him figure out how to do the puzzles, and he's getting better, and then when he can't figure things out, I'll play for a while and he'll watch me. And so it's kind of been a little fun thing that we've been able to do together. Yeah. And my other younger kids actually like sitting around watching us play. Right. So that's been fun. I've been playing that off and on, doing that. And then the only other thing I've been really able to do geeky is I'm reading Elantris right now by Brandon Sanderson.
Did you finish Warbreaker?
I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I finished that, and I dived right into Elantris. I'm actually listening to it the audio book, which is nice because I've had to travel a lot for work.
Yeah.
This week, and so I just listened to it in my car, and it's been nice. That's all I've
so now
really
you
done.
Understand why
I do.
At the end of Words of Radiance
that
when
one
that
thing happened,
sword started talking, and you're like, oh,
well, what? And it's just it's described the same way too, in a silver sheath and the black blade,
and you're like, what? No, wait, that sword's from the other.
I am really, really excited to see how that's explained. Yeah. That you know, night blood gets to that world.
Get into the other world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So, I'm excited. So that should be fun. That's it for me. Let's go to our next segment of the show,
the Weekly Geek.
So today we're going to be doing a fall TV preview. So not a review, but a preview. We're going to talk about, we like doing this on the Closet Geek. We do it with movies. We do it with TV generally in the fall and the winter and summertime. So we're going to let you know what cool or not cool shows are coming out and which ones we're excited to see. So let's jump right into it. We're going to go in chronological order of when the shows are coming out from the, you know, the first shows and
the
then
premiere days.
So on.
And I mostly put shows that are like fair, you know, quote unquote geeky in nature. Some of them aren't necessarily geeky shows, but I'll kind of explain
why. But we like them.
Well, right. Yeah. Like either we like them in general or I'll explain why I
like
put them on the list. Yeah, love the Blacklist. Okay. So the reason why we decided to do this fall TV preview is because the fall TV season is upon us. I mean, technically Sunday, I think, is some of the first shows that are going to have their premiere episodes. But we're going to jump right in. We're going to start with Monday, September the 22nd. That's this coming Monday.
Next week,
Monday is going to be, in my opinion, like the biggest night.
It's going to shut down TV.
Seriously, I just don't know how they expect everybody to...
People are not going to be able...
You know,
you're going to have to pick and choose.
Well, it's only in this day and age of DVRs that they could even get away with doing this.
That's
ridiculous.
So
true. Because
it doesn't matter if they're on conflicting schedules because you can record one and watch the other.
Exactly.
So, or you can wait until the next morning. Yeah.
So this coming Monday is going to have the premiere episode of season 2 of Sleepy Hollow. I loved the season 1. I really enjoyed that, so I'm really looking forward to season 2. It was a very big show for Fox, one of their biggest viewing shows, and so they
them excited for the next show that comes out on Fox.
So the next show is
I didn't see any of Sleepy Hollow.
You should watch.
Me either.
I just ruined your thunder.
You did, but guess what?
Your thunder.
Gotham is an after.
Oh.
And
Gotham.
I'm so excited for this.
I have it set to record already.
Yes.
So. Gotham should be awesome. I'm
excited about that.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this. And something that I put in our show notes, something that I thought was fun, is they had a little interactive website that you could go for Gotham where you could... They say you can investigate the Wayne's murder crime scene before the show comes out. And essentially what it really is it has a picture of the crime scene and it has pictures of all the characters. You can grab the screen and move it so you can do a whole 360 view of the scene. And then there's like little clues everywhere. But the clues are kind of like you can click on the characters and it has character descriptions of like, who is this character, you know, what to kind of expect type of thing. And so it highlights all the main characters and it's really cool. And then a couple little things here and there. It was kind of fun because, I'm really excited to see some of the characters, especially, Oswald Cobblepot, who is eventually, we know, becomes the Penguin. And it's really cool because he's like the servant of Fish Mooney, who's a new character that was created specifically for the Gotham show. And Jada Pinkett Smith is playing her. And I'm really interested to see that relationship. And a fun little side note with the character creation of Fish Mooney is this is the second character that Batman, Batman TV series has created that was never in the comics. The first character that was created was Harlequin in the Batman animated series. Wasn't in the comic books, and it was a very big, like, who's this character, Harlequin? And now she's like one of the most popular Batman characters out there.
Right.
And so it'll be really interesting to see
if she,
the creation of Fish Mooney, if she's going to be able to, I don't think she'll be as popular.
No, her last she's got a dumb one. Name.
Yeah, well, that too.
Well, because,
that too, but
I don't know. It's just too, I don't know.
They're trying too hard.
No. I don't think that at all. I mean,
I'm just, I'm excited.
Why would you name a female character Fish?
It has to start somewhere. Okay. And so, as we know, originally the main antagonists that Batman had to deal with was mostly the organized crime families of Gotham. And so, she's just kind of part of that initial groundwork. And so eventually bigger villains will come out and kind of take over, and the crime bosses will just kind of still be there.
If it's going to follow the same formula as Arrow and Smallville, they'll rotate their villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite frequently. So.
But
Needless to say, we're all excited for Gotham.
Be awesome.
You kind of have to rotate your villains with today's ADD crowd.
That's true.
What? What are we talking about?
It's sad. It's sad. It brings me back to the Fantastic Four on how they keep
the same villain
fitting in Doctor Doom.
Right.
He's a constant.
Right.
He's always. One thing I never really realized
about Dr. Doom was how, like, incredibly powerful he is. Like, he's like one of the most powerful people on the planet.
Marvel villains.
Yeah. And I never really even thought about that. I'm like, okay, he's just a guy in a suit of armor. But I didn't know about his magic. I didn't know about that side of him.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
he's not an A-list magician, but he has enough knowledge in the occult that he can throw some interesting,
he's thrown some good curses.
Well, he's thrown some good curses on Doctor Strange, actually.
Yeah,
it's kind of
Doctor Strange
took me by surprise, but some of his simple spells. But yeah,
I mean, not to get off topic, but I mean, it was Doctor Doom that like tricked the Scarlet Witch into getting rid of all of the mutants.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Dr. Doom is that he can't lie. That's a character flaw.
Oh, okay.
And so he manipulates through half truths. Because he can't lie. That's a character flaw.
Oh, he
can't tell a lie right out. And so, are you talking?
Well, that's kind of fun, though.
Very? Okay. No. I saw your lips moving. Okay.
I see your lips moving, but all I hear is blah, blah, blah.
He's chewing his cud.
So,
anyway, enough about the Fantastic Four.
Well, speaking of the Fantastic Four, one of the new shows on Monday is a show called Forever, which stars Yoan Gruffudd. Is that how you say his name?
Ioan.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's Yoan.
Is it
I know
Yoan?
That much of it. I just don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I just remember that's how it's spelled.
I know it's Yoan Gruffudd or Gruffudd.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember meeting him at FanX. Really, really nice guy.
So he is in this new show called Forever, where basically he plays an immortal. And
for those of you that don't know who that actor is, he played Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Or
the reason why I said
Horatio Hornblower.
Hornblower, yeah. So that's why I said Fantastic Four is a good
Sorry, segue. I just had to say that.
No, thank you. I forgot.
No, that's good. That's good.
So he's in this new show called Forever. I've seen the pilot. I really liked it. Of course, I'm a sucker for crime procedural dramas, and so that's essentially what it is. It's kind of a crime procedural drama where he plays the medical examiner, but he's immortal, And so it's all about trying to figure out who he is and how he became immortal. He's trying to, you know, if he's trying to figure out how, if he could possibly die. And
then a guy shows up with a sword and tries to chop his head off.
There could be only one. Lose your head.
That would be cool. No, actually, you, I think you can watch the pilot on Hulu for free.
Cool. Before it even shows on Monday. But I liked it, so I'll keep checking it out.
That's a series they could reboot.
Blacklist is also on Highlander. The second.
So, yeah, The Blacklist is...
I agree, Barry.
Season, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think they're working on a movie. I think they're working on a Highlander movie.
They are, yeah.
They are, okay.
But yeah, Blacklist season 2.
Yeah.
Blacklist was the number one TV show of last season. So,
really?
Super.
And it's coming to Netflix.
Yeah, it already is.
Oh,
yeah, it's
good.
On Netflix now.
You can already watch season 1 on Netflix.
Ooh, right. I haven't watched all of them.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been on Netflix.
So good. So good.
That's cool.
I definitely recommend this show.
Yeah,
like, hands down. It's so good.
But it's on Netflix.
I think I was the first one to really get into it, and everybody's like, sure.
No,
and
yeah,
like,
you and I,
You've seen the most. But I think we all saw the pilot. I know.
Yeah,
you and I
got into it at the same time.
Nope.
Yeah.
So then the other show that's on Monday, we keep talking about Monday. We haven't even gotten past Monday yet.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
So the
Monday.
Other show
Monday.
On Monday is a show on CBS called Scorpion. And basically,
I've not heard anything about this.
I think it looks like a lot of fun. Basically, what it is,
it's
like a group of geeks that the government has put together in order to help solve like high profile crime jobs,
like cyber terrorism.
Well, I mean, there is a cyber expert. There's like a mathematician. There's like, but it's basically like a group of geeks. And so it just looks fun. It looks like it could be a lot of fun. And apparently it's kind of based on real events somehow. Like maybe there's an actual team that got put together that's like this.
Or it could be Dragnet, you know?
Yeah, or something.
These are actual crimes. Only the names have been changed.
I hope not.
And that
movie was silly. Yeah.
So,
all right, well, let's go to Tuesday.
So now we're moving on to Tuesday. Woo! So
woo!
Tuesday the 23rd is the season premiere of Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That ended on...
I still only have watched the pilot.
Oh, dude. That ended on an extremely high note.
I am on episode 9.
I'm just waiting for it to come on Netflix.
I've been very critical of the show based on the pilot. But I'm happy to say that I've become a fan.
Woo!
I've laughed at the funny moments, and I've cried at the... Oh, there were no sad moments. It's all pretty lighthearted.
You're
it's
only halfway
lighthearted.
Through.
Right, so there may
it
be sad
better.
Moments in the past.
It gets so much better. Like, especially
episode 9, I'm very interested still on... I'm still like... Fiji, it's a magical place, so I'm really interested to see
Tahiti.
If Carter is a robot or not. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Oh man, it's
don't
it's
ruin
good.
It.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. There's so many crazy things that you can read into what they reveal. It's pretty awesome. So anyway, so that starts up. The cool thing about Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that they're going to do a 10-episode run, so for 10 weeks they'll run it solid with no breaks, and then they're going to take a mid-season break like a lot of shows normally do, but instead they're going to have the Agent Carter series, which is kind of a spin-off of the Captain America movie, because Agent Carter was the initial agent that was working along with Captain America and the commandos,
the
Howling Commandos. Is that what it was? The Howling Commandos or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about her. She was one of the original agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
So,
she helped create S.H.I.E.L.D.
So it's going to be about her and Hayley Atwell is the same actress from the movie. Is going to be reprising her role as Agent Carter.
Very cool.
And so, yeah, so it's going to, so that's going to run for.
That means they're probably going to go over the whole Oh, wait, I shouldn't say. Never mind. They'll go over really cool stuff.
Yes, really cool things.
So, I don't want to ruin it.
Right.
Ryan's
so then,
still watching season one.
Don't.
Yeah, so then they'll run that for 8 weeks, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will pick back up and run, you know, for the rest of the season. So I'm really excited about that. The other show that premieres on Tuesday is season 4 of Person of Interest. You guys, this show is so good. You've got to watch this show. I know I'm the only one that watches it, and every time I talk about it, I keep pleading for you to please.
But I've watched episodes, and it's just like any other top show to me.
No, it gets so much better. Anyway, so moving on. There wasn't really a whole lot for the rest of the week that I was particularly interested in, because usually Wednesday night and Thursday night becomes like comedy nights, and I don't care about the comedies there. They never last anyway. Any of the comedy, like, I don't think a single comedy that premiered last year is still on.
Yeah.
Oh, premiered?
Yeah.
You know?
People are fickle. Yeah.
They just don't, you know, they don't last. So skipping forward to Sunday, September 28th. Is the season 4 of Once Upon a Time.
Right, yeah. I haven't been.
This season,
I watched the first season. That's it.
This season is going to be pretty big because they're going to introduce Elsa
and Anna.
Anna from
and
the
Kristoff
Frozen
from Frozen
world. So,
it's so silly.
Elsa, the
is
Ice Queen.
Is Once Upon a Time, is it Disney? Or?
It's ABC.
It's pure Disney.
Yeah. It's ABC.
It's pure Disney.
It's owned by Disney.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have
so they
Snow
can do
White
whatever they want.
Yeah, so it's going to be they're going to introduce the Frozen characters in the Once Upon a Time world. So it'll be
what
interesting.
About Olaf.
I hope there's no Olaf.
Or Sven or what?
In my opinion, Olaf Sven. Was a waste of a character.
What?
He was like the best part of the movie
to him at all.
There was what?
It was
comedy
like the Jar Jar
relief
of Frozen.
No.
Jar Jar Binks. He's not that bad.
Shame on
he
you.
He was only in it so that kids could laugh when he said, "Grab my butt." You know, I mean, only the
I laughed.
That's not saying much there.
Thank you for proving my point. Anyway.
I liked his summer song.
All right. Yeah.
I'll step down from my soapbox on.
Anyway, all right. Sure.
Send your hate mail to ClosetGeek.net.
TheClosetGeekPod at gmail.com.
All right. The other show that premieres on Sunday is a show that I started watching last season that I got really interested in. It's a show called Resurrection. Basically what it is it's about this little town where people who previously died start coming back.
Are resurrected?
They start coming back. But they come back as they were the day that they went missing. And so, like, this little boy who went missing and died, well, he didn't go missing. He died when he was, like, 8, came back 30 years later looking for his parents. His parents are now 60-something, and he's like, "Who are you?" And so it's all about, you know, how each of these characters start coming back, and it's this whole conspiracy about what the heck's going on. Are they really there? Are they really live? Are they ghosts? Because, you know, there's all this crazy stuff that goes on at the same time. But that was one that I was...
So season 2?
Yeah, season 2.
Huh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah,
but
it's based
I think
on
I would rather watch Person of Interest, though.
Yes. No, seriously, Person of Interest, dude, you've got to see that show. I'm telling you.
They're on the fourth season now, right?
Yeah, fourth season.
Yeah.
Dang.
All right. Well,
is it on Netflix?
No, it's not.
No, it's
because
not.
It's CBS.
Oh.
Well, let's.
Stuff is not. So Tuesday, September 30th. I put this in there mostly because of who's in it, but it's a show called Selfie. It's starring Karen Gillan of Doctor Who and Guardians of the Galaxy fame, and John Cho, who is the most recent Chekhov from the Star Trek movies. So it's got the two of them in it, and it's basically a play on the Pygmalion, My Fair Lady type storyline. I mean, her character's name is even like Eliza Dooley, and so
Instead of Doolittle,
yeah, and like and his His name is a play on the other professor's.
Professor Hennigan.
Yeah.
Hennigan.
So it,
or Higgins. Yeah, Higgins.
Higgins. It's like Higgins.
Henry. Henry Higgins.
Yes.
Yeah,
Henry so like Higgins. John yeah. Cho's character's like Higginbottom or something like that. So anyway.
Anyway.
So
Uncle Thursday.
They are running out of original ideas.
Moving on. Thursday, October 2nd is I think the fourth season of Vampire Diaries, maybe the fifth season now.
But
the other show that I just put that in there because some people like
people it. Like vampires.
So the other show I put in there is called Grace Point. The reason why I put this one in there is because it stars David Tennant, where a lot of people love David Tennant because of his Doctor Who. But what's interesting is that Grace Point is it's a remake of a British series called Broadchurch, and David Tennant was also in that series. And in this series, Grace Point, he essentially plays the exact same character, and it's the same story that was in the original series Broadchurch. Now the weird thing is that Broadchurch is still an ongoing series.
Yeah, isn't that the one with the priest who runs the downtown?
I don't know that much about it, but it's basically a murder mystery that takes place in this little town. But in Grace Point, which is the American version, David Tennant plays an American, so he speaks with an American accent.
That'll be weird.
Whereas in the Broadchurch, he spoke with his standard
normal
Scottish
accent
that he had.
Do they even need to do that?
I think he's English or well.
No, he's Scottish. He doesn't
even.
No,
it's silly. It's
he
silly.
Is Scottish.
Everyone knows he's.
David Tennant is Scottish.
Does it really appeal to an American audience to have it be American voice?
I don't know.
I would think that a British voice would sound
exotic. But
what's
interesting is that
Ooh,
is that
that's right.
Is that
from Britain?
The producers.
Do you know the Queen? I know somebody who lives in Britain. Do you know them?
They have specifically said that they did change the ending, so people that have seen the Broadchurch series won't know the ending of the Grace Point series.
So they get arrested by the National Security Agency instead of the
official. Right.
Let's continue on.
October 3rd is a...
Star Wars Rebels, Spark of the Rebellion.
Spark of the Rebellion essentially is kind of like a prequel event movie.
It's to get people
to
pumped
get people
up
excited
for
about the actual series, which comes out a few weeks later.
The 13th of October.
But it also is the night that Legend of Korra, Book 4, is going to be available online, streaming. That's how they're doing it from now on. It's not going to be on the regular Nickelodeon channel. It's going to be nick.com for free. You can go to nick.com and stream it for free. But what's interesting is Book 3 just ended 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they're already putting Book 4 out. So, and then Book 4 is going to be the last season.
Last season, yeah.
So looking forward to that. Monday, October 6th is season 2 or 3 of The Originals, which is a spinoff of The Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries, yeah.
Tuesday, October 7th is The Flash.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that looks good.
This is one that I'm really excited
about. I'm interested in this, even though that character hasn't been introduced.
Especially if you see season 2, where it introduces the Barry Allen character.
Barry! Me! Look! I'm wearing Flash.
Oh, you're wearing the Flash shirt. Barry's wearing the Flash shirt. Oh, that's cute. Okay.
All right. Going on. Supernatural
is
also that night.
Season 10 of Supernatural.
It's got to end.
No, you know what they've said? They've said this show is never going to end because it's got, like, the most ratings that
it's still,
CW
like,
has
one
ever
of the biggest
seen.
Shows,
And it's, like, ten seasons in, and it's still the biggest show they've got.
I know, it's crazy.
So that's going strong.
All right,
Wednesday, October 8th, is season 3 of Arrow. Super excited about season 3. They're going to actually introduce Ra's al Ghul as one of the villains. And there's a lot of really cool things that I don't want to talk about because some of my brothers are still watching and trying to get caught up.
Don't even think about it.
I did post that article about the 10 episodes you have to see before season 3.
All of us haven't seen season 2
yet. I know. You got to wait.
I'm working on it. I just finished season 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Sunday, October 12th is the season 4 premiere of The Walking Dead.
I haven't even finished season 2.
Season 5 premiere of The Walking Dead.
Season 5 premiere.
So for those of us that have watched it...
You haven't seen season 2, Mike?
I've only seen a few
episodes.
Then
you are going to lose trivia tonight,
Then you're
going to
lose trivia tonight.
That's fine. I'm not a huge zombie fan, so I lose interest in the show when I watch it.
I like it because it's post-apocalyptic slash zombie.
But yeah, for those
anyway,
that have watched it, which is
it's
all
about
the
human condition. It's not necessarily about zombies.
It's true.
400 million people in America, minus Michael, that have watched this show. More people watch The Walking Dead than the Super Bowl. Come on.
It's true.
I guess I could always watch them if I really cared.
You can watch them on Netflix, season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season 1 through 3.
4 will come out soon.
Yep.
Get with it, buddy.
It's good stuff.
All right.
I'm going to have lots of time soon, so.
Monday, October 13th is the premiere of Star Wars Rebels.
Nice.
Woo, so excited about that. It's going to be good stuff.
It's going to be awesome.
Wednesday, October 22nd, is season 2 of The 100, which is a CW show. It's a sci-fi post-apocalyptic type where they've been living off of the planet Earth for a while. There's on this big colony ship, but they're running out of resources. And so what they do is they decide to send like 100 of the most they're mostly kids that they send out and to kind of, it's a political thing, but it's very Hunger Games ish. It's pretty cool. And I watched a few episodes of that, not the entire first season, but, Friday, October 24th is the new season of Grimm.
Yes.
Forward to that because it sure ended on a weird, weird note.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, how are they going to fix that? So looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty cool.
Grimm is one of those shows that I think is very underrated.
I agree. But, I mean, it's obviously gotten good enough ratings that they're still going strong.
Somebody's watching it.
Yeah, I mean, season 3.
Raise your hand.
That's right.
John and Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. We are the ones that are keeping it going. Yeah. Now, the other show that is premiering that night is Constantine, which I'm really looking forward to. That's based on the DC character, John Constantine. He's a occultish investigator, kind of a private detective in a way. But he deals with issues of the occult and whatnot. So it's very supernatural-ish. Very grim-ish. Yeah. So it's kind of cool that it's back-to-back, Grimm and Constantine. That's going to be a good night for TV, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that one. Thursday, October 30th, is the premiere of the new season of Elementary, which I love. I know Michael went pshaw because of the fact that the Watson character is played by a woman.
He went on that. Michael was very much booed by the rest of us for his like of that.
Lucy Liu does such a good job of that show in that show. But,
well, she's a good actress.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. I mean, she does a good job in Elementary. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. I'm thinking of Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Okay. She does a lot of voice acting.
So, and then the last show that I put on here was a show from the Sci-Fi Channel. It doesn't premiere until way into November, Monday the 24th of November, but it's a show called Ascension. And one of the big stars is Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica fame. And so essentially it's kind of cool. It's kind of an alternate history. But what it is it's John F. Kennedy has decided that if the world is going to continue, then it's going to have to be done on a different planet, because this world is going to eventually either blow itself up or we're going to run out of resources. So what they do is they design this colony ship called the Ascension, where they launch it. And so essentially it's about the people that are on this colony ship, and there's like a murder that takes place on this colony ship. And so it's, so obviously your list of suspects is pretty short. And so it's kind of a murder mystery, sci-fi, alternate history kind of thing. But it looks really interesting. So I'll give it a chance.
Cool.
I want to give kudos.
You let me know.
Yeah. Well, I want to give kudos to the Sci-Fi Channel, because they really are trying to get back to their sci-fi roots. For the longest time, they were doing all kinds of reality.
Sharknado.
TV. Dude, Sharknado, man. It was awesome. Sharknado 2, the return of the Sharkies, flying Sharkies, they're going to get you. So, anyway.
Have you even seen those?
No.
Neither have I.
Well, what's funny is that there's another...
And I never will.
There's another series that just premiered like a couple of nights ago called Z Nation. And it's kind of like a zombie show.
Oh my gosh, it's so terrible.
But no.
Really?
That's why I didn't put it on our list. Because
so terrible.
Done by the same people that did Sharknado.
Yeah. They did a preview of it. They did a sneak preview of it at Salt Lake Comic Con, because Sci-Fi was one of the sponsors for the Comic Con. People went in there going, ooh, zombie film, this looks really cool. People left going, what did we just watch? That was awful.
It's total cheese.
Oh,
it's total ham.
It's like,
it's Sharknado, but zombies.
Uh-huh.
So if you liked the...
People were expecting like a serious zombie show, and it was like,
serious.
Oh, no, not at all.
What's that zombie show, Zombie Detention, Zombies in Detention or something like that? It's just really cheesy about a high school, you know, the quality is like a softcore porn without any sex. Is that bad?
Okay. I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
No, it's horrible.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they can't
bad
act.
Lighting
what
and
I'm
everything.
Saying is
just
they
like
can't
quality.
Act.
Oh, okay. Bad lighting.
Speaking of zombie shows, one show that I didn't see anywhere on the list of premiere nights is the new show iZombie, which
is
based on the DC comic of the same name. And that's a CW, but it may not come out until after the first of the year, and so that's why it wasn't on the list.
In the list.
It may not premiere until like January or February, and that's what's going on here.
There is your 2014 fall TV preview.
According to us.
According to us.
And
stuff that
there are plenty,
you should watch.
There are plenty and plenty and plenty of other shows that we didn't list on here because, one, they aren't considered geeky, and two, I was not interested in them in any way, shape, or form, so I didn't put them on this list. So, you know.
But now it's time for Geeky Trivia!
Ooh.
All right, tonight's subject is The Walking Dead.
Yes.
To honor our
TV. Movie.
I actually took out the comic questions because only Ryan would get those.
That's
so
true. I have read some.
I've only read the first three.
But just to let you know.
Yeah, I know.
But to let you know that most of these questions are seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, there you go, Michael. See.
Hey, Michael.
So you might be able to answer some.
I might be able to answer a couple.
All right.
Rick!
Yeah, right.
Are you ready?
Okay,
yeah.
let's do it.
Let me write down your names there.
Don't even bother.
My name's John.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. What filmmaker was originally the writer, director, and executive producer of The Walking Dead?
Ron Moore.
Robert Kirkman?
And
I don't know.
And if you don't know, I have multiple choice.
No, it wasn't Robert.
It's a
no,
trick question. It never had an executive producer.
Oh, no, Robert Kirk.
Is it?
Okay, go ahead.
Is it A, Guillermo del Toro?
Ooh.
B, Fred Decker?
Might have been Guillermo.
C, Frank Darabont?
Oh, no.
Or D, Don Coscarelli?
I know that Frank Darabont is still connected to it, so I'm going to go with Frank.
That is incorrect.
Ah, curses.
Guillermo del Toro.
Incorrect.
What? Okay, then I don't know.
The correct answer.
Frankie.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. No, I apologize. I was looking at the wrong one. John is
yes!
correct.
I know he still does it.
The original developer. He's tagged as the original developer.
Frank Darabont was the correct answer. Good job, John.
I was so confused.
I'm sorry. All right. Season one takes place primarily en route to what major city?
Atlanta.
Mike, Atlanta. Got it. Boom.
I thought it... Oh, okay, never mind.
All right.
Michael got you just like a half a second, right?
Just barely, yeah. What is Rick Grimes' son's first name?
Carl.
Boom. John Carl.
Damn it, Carl!
Yeah.
Supposed to be in the house.
Carl. All right. True or false?
Yes.
At the department store, Andrea takes a bracelet with a heart pendant for her sister.
False. It was a necklace.
You are correct.
Boom.
Wow.
All right. Okay. What is the first name of Andrea's sister?
Oh, the one that dies.
Jane.
What other sister would there be?
That's not a spoiler. It happens in like the second episode. Jill?
Samantha.
Nope.
Ah, dang it. No, it's like...
Ryan, do you have a guess?
Oh, no, it's like... It's
Karen.
Like, No. It's like...
not Michonne. It's not...
You guys already guessed.
Susan.
All right.
I don't know. What is it?
The correct answer is Amy.
Man, I wasn't even close. Peter?
Yeah, Peter?
All right. Who holds himself responsible for Merle's getting locked on the rooftop because he dropped the key to his handcuffs?
The black guy.
DJ... Oh, what's his name? TC. D. Gosh, dang it. Oh, it's killing me.
TC?
I don't know.
You're so close. You're so close.
I know
close.
I am. It's it's like B.A. Baracus.
The correct answer is T-Dog.
T-Dog. Dang it.
T-Dog. What?
I knew. I couldn't remember. Oh, dang it. So mad.
All right. What is the name of the character that Rick repeatedly tries to reach by walkie-talkie?
Oh,
it's the guy with his son.
That guy with his son.
Sniper guy. Oh, dang it. What's his name? It was like Elias or Ezra or dang it.
The correct answer is Morgan.
Wow, I was off.
I don't even try.
All right.
At least I'm trying. It might be wrong.
Which character produces Rick's missing hand grenade just in time for them to escape the CDC?
What? Andrea.
Nope.
Hand grenade.
It's the season finale episode of season one.
Yeah.
Right. What's that Chinese guy's name?
No, that was
Glenn.
Glenn, yeah. I can't even remember.
That is also incorrect.
No, it's
Sophia.
No.
Is it his wife?
No.
Peter.
The correct answer is Carol.
What?
Sophia's mom.
Carol. Oh.
I don't remember that. That's weird.
Because she was washing Rick's clothes and the hand grenade was in his pocket. And then she held on to it for like several episodes.
Weird. Okay. I don't remember that at all.
Okay. All right. What are the creatures referred to in the show?
Walkers.
John Walkers.
John Walker. Johnny
Walker.
Johnny Walker.
Hey, I actually met a Johnny Walker.
Was he walking straight?
He's kind of wobbling around.
All right. What RV part repeatedly gives the group
radiator
trouble? Be more specific.
The radiator hose.
Radiator hose is correct, Michael.
What?
I thought John got it, so I didn't guess.
Come on. That's the same. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yay, I get a point.
After one of them is shot, the survivors take refuge at the farmhouse of who?
Walter.
Yeah.
The veterinarian.
The old veterinarian guy.
What's his name?
What is his name?
Is his name Walter?
Not.
Wait.
Nope.
Randall?
What? No.
Nope, no.
Why
Peter.
Am I not remembering his name? I thought it was
Peter.
Wait.
The correct answer is
Herschel.
Herschel.
Oh, my God. Just as you said that.
Why did I think it was Walter? That's weird.
I don't even know who Walter is.
Apparently,
all right,
the old
Walter Mitty.
The farm.
What sound initially gives the survivors hope, but ultimately turns out to be a recording?
A radio signal? It's like a
no.
radio...
No.
Music?
No.
What sound?
I don't know.
Because they were searching for Sophia.
A helicopter?
And they heard a sound.
A sound.
The correct answer is church bells.
Oh, okay. I remember that. Okay.
There was. I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was like they thought it was maybe her.
Why was it a recording of church bells?
Because that.
It was a church.
Instead of an actual manual bell that you rang, it was just a...
Oh, they had it playing
they just
over
had,
a speaker.
It was on the electronic system.
Yeah.
Right, I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that building. Okay.
Okay, so Mike won't know this one, but after Shane shoots Otis at the school, what does Otis grab from him before he can escape?
Grab from Shane?
The backpack full of medicine. Or
no, what does Otis grab from Shane?
A
gun. Yeah.
A weapon.
No. like his walkie-talkie. Pistol. No. It was like a...
The correct answer is a handful of hair.
Hair. Oh, that's right, because then he had to shave his head. Dang it.
I would have known that one.
Come on.
All right.
I would have if I would have remembered it.
Yeah, right.
What does Lori ask Glenn to get for her in town?
Pregnancy test.
Yeah. Ryan,
yes.
Pregnancy
finally
test.
I only have 1 point.
What is in the barn?
All the zombies.
The family.
John, zombie.
Including?
Oh.
Sophia.
She's a zombie!
Oh, well, that's over. Ruins the next question.
Sorry.
Sophia! Yes, I get it.
Which character displays suicidal tendencies, leading the others to the
Shane?
Group to confiscate their gun?
Oh, the girl. The little girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the sister.
She didn't have suicidal tendencies. She had... homicidal tendencies.
I don't remember her name.
Gosh, dang it.
Andrea.
No.
Andrea is correct.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yep.
It wasn't the little... Oh. Oh.
You're thinking homicide, not suicide.
All right. Do you guys want some more? I got more.
Sure.
What's our time?
Oh, if people are listening by this point, then they're going to keep listening.
It's a marathon.
What position does Rick Grimes hold at the police station before he is the outbreak?
Sheriff, deputy sheriff.
Sergeant.
Police guy.
So you guys were just guessing too much, but the correct answer was deputy, yes.
Oh.
So it wasn't sheriff, it was deputy.
Sheriff, deputy, whatever.
Different.
I know, but I said deputy.
After you said sheriff twice. All right. Okay, how does Lori Grimes die?
Carl cuts her head off. Or no, he shoots her in
the
head.
She dies from the zombies get her.
Yeah, no, okay, C-section.
All of the above.
I'll take that.
Above?
John, I'll give you a half point. So during childbirth, yeah. So
it wasn't during childbirth.
She dies during...
Her stomach was cut wide open.
She was giving birth to her child.
C-section is the same thing.
How is that
full point?
Oh my gosh.
Give him a full point.
Fine.
Judges?
Yeah. Full we already agreed.
What's the governor's town called?
Homestead. No, that's not it.
Oh my gosh. As soon as you asked that question, the answer went bloop right out of my head.
Town.
It was
Woodbury.
Yes.
Woodbury is correct.
Google it. Hey, no cheating, Ryan.
Yes, I did.
I
didn't
you
get
did,
a point.
You're like staring at the screen.
Staring at your second screen there.
All right. For one point each of the original Atlanta group, how many are alive at the end of season 3? And can you name them?
Okay. Rick.
Yeah, Rick.
Correct.
Carl.
Lori.
No.
She was alive.
Glenn.
End of the first season, right?
Oh, he said
end of the season
3.
Yeah.
Oh.
Glenn.
So,
yes, Glenn. Maggie. Herschel.
No. He said
the
original
is dead by the end of season 3.
Oh, the original.
The original Atlanta group.
Yeah. That's why I said Glenn.
Tria.
That's it, isn't it?
What about Carl?
We already said Carl.
Carl.
What about Glenn?
We said Glenn.
Ed Glenn.
What about the cowboy dude?
Yeah.
With the crossbow Daryl. Dude.
Oh yeah, Daryl.
Daryl.
Duh. And yeah. Merle. No.
Oh yeah, no. Merle died at the end of season 2, didn't he?
Merle died.
What about the abused mother chick?
Carol.
Carol.
Oh, did you say Carol?
No.
No.
Yes. So, well, no, but I'll give you all each.
Hey, yeah, I definitely
you
got
guys,
Glenn.
Did you keep track?
I didn't really have their names. I kind of said the cowboy dude with the crossbow. Does that count?
I gave you guys all 2 points.
There we go. But we all figured
all
it
right.
out.
All right.
How does Shane die?
Carl shoots him.
Well,
he turns into a zombie.
He gets bit. No.
And then,
wait.
How does he turn into a zombie? Rick shoots him, and then he turns into a zombie.
No.
And then.
No.
They get into a fight. Well,
yeah.
This is how it happens in the comic.
He's so different than the comic.
Strangles him. Rick strangles him.
Yeah, Rick strangles him. He dies, and then he gets back up as a zombie.
His son
and Carl,
shoots him.
Carl when
shoots
he's a zombie.
Right.
But he died originally because Rick strangled him.
Or broke his neck.
Rick stabs him.
Oh, stabbed him.
See, it's funny because in the comic,
I don't
what happens is that
I thought they were
they buried him because they didn't know
fighting.
That the dead turned at that
right.
point.
Yeah.
Well,
so what happens is that Rick later went back. Now, once he realized that the dead turn, he went back later in the comic, dug up Shane, and killed him.
Shot him in the head.
Yeah.
But what in the comic?
In order to just put him out of his misery? Or?
Yeah.
At that point, he was a zombie.
I know, but he was still his best friend.
One less zombie is, you know, right? All right.
It
last
was a
question.
Moral character thing.
Oh, last question.
All right.
I'll give you 3 points for this question.
Ooh.
Who is Milton?
Oh, Milton is the guy that was like the governor's aide. He was like his right hand man for in Woodbury.
That is correct. So his his right-hand man slash the scientist.
Oh, yeah.
Guy.
All right. So
he was the one who was trying to see
trivia.
If zombies could actually remember anything.
Yeah. And John is our victorious winner with 11 points.
Yes.
And Ryan and Michael tie for second with 4 points.
Woo! Yeah!
I wasn't expecting
I'll
a
take
tie.
It. I'll take it. I was expecting to lose.
Good job.
All right, that's it for the Closet Geek guys. We'd like to a special thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for their stream, even though we're not live streaming right now because of my bad, pretty much. But we still want to thank them because we're still working with them. Also thanking Doghouse Systems for their being an affiliate with them. You can use the code CLOSETGEEK to get double the RAM of your next PC gaming purchase. And also go to our website, theclosetgeek.net, to use our Amazon affiliate to help us out. It doesn't cost you any extra money, but it allows us to use the money to put towards the Closet Geek. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to check us out on all our social media websites, and you can email us all your questions at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes, and join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.